This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Recording in progress.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom aleichem, brachim abam to the Monday afternoon Agad Perka National Share. Welcome, everybody. We have a very important topic today, Parshas Korach. If anybody would like to be mishtatef in the upcoming Sefer on Chinuch HaBanim, that's available. We have very chashuv a guest today. First of all, the yeshiva is over and camp didn't start, so we have Shlomo Gladstein here and David Gladstein. They're on the floor over here. They're hiding out, but they're here at the shir. And okay, here's you want to say hello?
No.
No, okay, you don't have to say hello. Okay, Parshas Korach. There's a very interesting pasuk in the parsha. Vayichar, okay. Hi. Okay, go sit on the floor, okay? Vayichar l'moshe ma'ir. Moshe got very upset. Vayomer yisera l'Hashem. Al tefen al minchasam. Do not turn to their mincha. Do not turn to their flower offering. Lo yichamor echad mehem nasasi. I did not bear and take one donkey from them. V'loy harei oisi es achad mehem. I did not harm one of them. This is when the struggle between Moshe and Korach reached the tipping point, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate what Korach is doing anymore. I'm not going to tolerate Korach's accusations. This is, so to speak, the boiling point of the Machlokes, where Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and he says to Hashem, don't turn to their offering. Don't turn to their mincha. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as if to prove that he is correct and that Korach is wrong in his accusations, Moshe Rabbeinu said, did I take a donkey from them? Did I ever take a donkey from them? I never took a donkey from them. So you can make the case that this pasuk is the central pasuk in this week's parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, I never took a donkey, open the door, I never took a donkey from them. And the proof that this is the central pasuk, the proof that this is the central pasuk in the parsha is the fact that if you look in the Haftarah, which the Haftarah is supposed to be a reading of the Nevi'im, which is reiterating and similar to the main subject of the parsha, we read in Shmuel, where Shmuel said, "Hinenu anu vi neged Hashem and neged Meshichai, eshar mila kachti. Did I take an ox from them? V'chamor mila kachti. Did I take a donkey from them? V'esmi ashakti. V'esmi ratzoisi. Did I oppress anyone? Did I harm anyone? Yad mila kachti koifer." So it's very interesting that we see two things. Number one, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's primary argument that he is correct in his accusations, that he is correct in his struggle with Korach, is the fact that he didn't take a donkey. I mean, what does that have to do with the Machlokes Korach and Moshe? Korach was accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of nepotism, whatever the various approaches in the Mefarshim, what exactly the accusation of Korach was. But why is this relevant that Moshe Rabbeinu did not take a donkey from them? How is that hitting on the head the main taina of Korach? And furthermore, is this really the most important nekuda of the Parsha, that this is what we choose to read about in the Haftarah? Namely, you know what this week's Haftarah is about? That Shmuel says, I didn't take a donkey from them. What's this emphasis on the donkeys? So I would like to share with you today the approach of the Chassam Sofer to this week's parsha. It's a novel approach. It's an ingenious approach. And by learning this approach of the Chassam Sofer, it will give us a new perspective and a new insight into many different chalakim of Nevi'im. And the Chassam Sofer, this is found in the Torah Moshe, he says an amazing phenomenon. Chassam Sofer says that there are two institutions in Klal Yisrael. There is the institution of the Navi, and the job of the Navi is to prophesy, is to teach Torah, and then there's the institution of the Melech, the institution of the king. Says Chassam Sofer, we never find that those two institutions were combined in one person. Chassam Sofer writes, V'hanira l'fi anias daiti kach, hinei lo imatsinu li Yisrael melech, shiagam navi meshulach lo'am. We do not find for Klal Yisrael that the king was also the prophet sent to instruct, to teach, and to guide the people. Except for Ki'im Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only individual in history who is both a Navi and a Melech. So you say, Navi we know. One of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi who ever lived. But Moshe was a king? How was Moshe a king? Since when was Moshe a king? Well, says Chassam Sofer, the Pasuk says in Vazois HaBracha, Vayihi Vishurun Melech, and he was king in Yishurun, B'hisaseif Rashayam, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. Now, Rashi learns, Vayihi, God was a king in Yishurun. However, the Ibn Ezra says, Vayihi Vishurun Melech is going on Moshe Rabbeinu. That the Rosh Am heard Torah from him. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not only a Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Melech. But the other Neviim, Yeshaya was a Navi, he wasn't a Melech. Yirmiya was a Navi, he wasn't a Melech. Yechezkel was a Navi, he wasn't a Melech. Lo hayu malachim. And the kings were not prophets. The kings were not prophets. Shloimai was not a prophet. Chizkiyahu was not a prophet. Even David HaMelech was not a Navi. See, if David HaMelech is not a Navi, no says Chassam Sofer. David HaMelech was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, but not a Navi. That's the meaning, Chazal say, from, look in the Gemara in Gittin, in number 8 on your sheet. The Gemara in Gittin says, V'amar Rabbah b'rei d'Rava v'itema Rav Hillel b'rei d'Rebbe Valas. Miyamois Moshe viad Rebbe laimatsinu Taira ugdula b'makam echad. From the days of Moshe until Rebbe, we don't find Taira and Gedula in one place. Now, we usually think, what does it mean we don't find Taira ugdula b'makam echad? That you won't find rabbis who are rich. You could have people who know Taira, but they don't know business. They don't know how to make money. And you have people who know how to make money, but they don't necessarily know Taira. But the never shall the twain meet. From the days of Moshe until Rebbe, we don't have Torah Ugdula B'makam Echad. But the Chassam Sofer interprets it differently. You know what it means from the days of Moshe until Rebbe, we don't have Torah Ugdula B'makam Echad? It means we never find that the Torah leader was also the king and the guide of the people. Usually these two institutions were separate, were distinct. From Moshe until Rebbe, we don't find that the Navi, or the one who taught Torah, was also the powerful leader of the Jewish people. Moshe encompassed both roles. He was both the Melech and the Navi. And Rebbe encompassed both roles. He was the teacher of Torah. He redacted the Mishnah. He codified the Mishnah. And furthermore, he was the leader of the Jewish people to the government, to the powers. And even if you say, by the way, that David and Shlomo were Nevi'im, they were greater Nevi'im. They were not the leading Nevi'im in their times. So even if you say, well, if you look at Megillah and Daf Yedaled and the list of the 48 Nevi'im, David and Shlomo are listed, that may be the case. But in the times of David, there was Nasan HaNavi, Gad HaNavi, and in terms of Nevuah, they were greater. So this is an idea that usually there are two institutions in the Jewish people. The institution of Torah leadership, Torah, teaching Torah, that's prophecy, and Malchus, that's sovereignty. And usually they are not encompassed in one person. And therefore, as we're going to see, the accusation of Korach to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Moshe, yes, I was present on Har Sinai, and I saw God speak to you face to face, and I am an eyewitness to the greatness of your nevuah. In fact, Korach agreed that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi who ever lived. But Korach was saying, well, if you're the Navi, but you can then not be the Melech of the Jewish people. And you know who should be the Melech? Me. But you can't have both of it. With this principle, the Chasam Sofer explains something very interesting we find in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel we find, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, the Pasuk says, Vayivshat Gamhu Begadav, that Shaul took off his garments, Vayisnabe Gamhu Lufnei Shmuel, he prophesied before Shmuel, Vayipol Oroim Kalayemahu Bechalayel, he fell unclothed the whole day and the whole night, Al Kein Yomru, therefore it was said, Hagam Shaul Banavim, is even Shaul a prophet? Did you ever hear that expression? Hagam Shaul Banavim? Shlomo, did you ever hear that expression? Hagam Shaul Banavim? Is even Shaul a prophet? What exactly is this expression? Is even Shaul a prophet? And by the way, this was not the first time we find in Sefer Shmuel, Hagam Shaul Banavim. Because if you look in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud, Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph, the Pasuk says like this, Vayavoyu sham hagivasa, vihine chevel neviim lekrasai, they came to give us, and there was a group of neviim coming toward him. Vatitzlach olav ruach alaikim vayisnabe besoicham, vayihi kol yoideoi me itmal shulshaim, vayiru vihine im neviim niba, vayoymer ha'am ishel reyehu. Mazeh hayel ben kish, hagam shol banaviim, is shol, even is even shol a navi? Like, what is this? So the question is, you know, what is the novelty of the expression Hagam Shaul Banavim later on in Perek Yotes Pasuk Chav Dalet? What's the novelty of that when this was said much earlier on? In fact, in Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Vayan Ish Misham Vayomer Umi Avim Al Ken Hoysa L'Mashal. There was a common refrain, Hagam Shaul Banavim, is even Shaul a Navi? So what is this refrain that they had? Is even Shaul a Navi? What is the novelty of it if it was always said? And the Chasam Sofer explains as follows. When Shaul ran after David in Nevoyos, in Ramah, and he prophesied, they said, Hagam Shaul Benavim. And this is a wonder, because they already said, before Shaul ever became a king, they said, Hagam Shaul Benavim, where it became an expression, Hagam Shaul Benavim. And the Chasam Sofer says, it comes out very beautiful. Before Shaul was the king, he was not valued by the people. So at that point in time, they wondered, who is this guy? Who does this guy think he is? He's prophesying. Is even Shaul a Navi? But now this is later on in history. Now this is when he already became the king. So once he became the king, so now they're wondering, how could he prophesy, but he's a melech, and a melech can't be a Navi? So the first expression was when he was a rookie, when he was a novice, and they were wondering, is even Shaul a Navi? He's not on the level of Nevuah. That's before they knew who he was. Now, after he was a seasoned and recognized individual, now the question is, but he's a Melech. And if he's a Melech, how could he prophesy? So, the Chasam Sofer suggests that the original question of how could he prophesy, that ceased once he became a king. They were afraid of him. But now the question is, how could he prophesy if he's a Melech? And the Chasam Sofer suggests that in fact, maybe the reason why he was prophesying when he was a melech is that was a siman min hashamayim that the malchus was taken away from him. Meaning maybe the fact that Shaul regained prophecy, that indicated that heaven was not pleased with his malchus and that the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to give the malchus to David HaMelech. So this is really an amazing phenomenon that the Chasam Sofer points out. I don't think most people are aware of this. I don't think most people know that prophecy and malchus are mutually exclusive, that we never find the two together. Even David and Shlomo were not the preeminent Nevi'im. And this explains the expression, Hagam Sha'ol Ba'Nevi'im. And this was the taina of Korach. Korach says, Moshe, I know you're a great man. I know you're the greatest Navi who ever lived. But you can't be both the Navi and the Melech. So I have a great idea. You know who should be the next Melech? Me. Now, the question then is, why is Malchus and Nevuah mutually exclusive? Why do they not go together? Says Chassam Sofer, because the job descriptions of a Melech and a Navi are polar opposites. Shehim Beis Hefchiyim Benoise Yachad. A Melech has to carry himself with loftiness, with majesty, with power, with force. Only God is above him. Soim Tasim Alecha Melech. Melech Shemachal Al Kevoidoi Ein Kevoidoi Machal. A king that forgoes his honor is not forgiven. So a king has to be Nahoig Nisiasai Berama. But a Navi is supposed to be soft like a reed, to conduct himself with shiflus. And by doing so, Mashpia Shefa Yamim La'am, he'll be able to influence the people. Like we find, the whole world was sustained in the merit of Hanina ben Doisa. And Hanina ben Doisa, in his great humility, all he needed was a Kav Charuven because of his shiflus. A Navi cannot be arrogant. A Navi cannot carry himself with loftiness. So says the Chassam Sofer, for example, Shmuel Hanavi, or Elisha Hanavi, who would always be traveling from city to city. They had no set location and destination, and they were always on the go. And that's why Shmuel said, Es chamor mi lo kachti. Shmuel was a Navi, and Shmuel therefore says, I am fulfilling my role perfectly. Did I exert any authority over them? Did I take anything from them? I didn't take a donkey from them. Also, Shimshon, he never said, he went from place to place. However, a melech, says Chassam Sofer, is the opposite of this. He could take your children as slaves. But the Navi can only aggrandize himself above the Rishayim, like Eliyahu did with Achav and with the Anshe Yoram, and Elisha did with the 42 Yeladim, and Yirmiyah with the Anshe Anosos, otherwise not. And even when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shimuna Hamoirim, yeah, he said Shimuna Hamoirim, and he was punished. So the Taina of Korach was like this. Korach's Taina was, Ki Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim. And therefore, they need a Navi who's a shafal. They need a Navi who's just humble. V'lama tisnasu. How could you be the Melech? You'll be the Navi, and I'll be the Melech. This was the Taina of Korach. So now the million-dollar question is, if being a Navi and a Melech are mutually exclusive, but obviously they were not mutually exclusive, because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to encompass both roles. How is Moshe Rabbeinu able to encompass both roles if a Navi cannot be a Melech? Says Chassam Sofer, I'll explain to you how he did it. Aval hatam ho'amiti shezocha Moshe liyos Melech. Look at number 13 on the sheet. The true reason why Moshe was able to be a Melech, mishum shehaya anav yoser midai, because of his excessive humility. Every other Melech in the world, his malchus would be a contradiction to his prophecy. Not so Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his awesome humility, he was able to balance, he's the only individual who was able to balance both roles. By the way, we could add that maybe that's how Rebbe was able to balance being the teacher of Torah and being the leader of the Jewish people. As we find in the Gemara in Soita and Daf Memtes, that Rebbe also was the paragon of humility, Mishameis Rebbe, Batal Anava. Chazal say the face of Moshe was like the sun Kipnei Chama. Why is he compared to as the sun? Because he's the sun is an eved to the world. He served the world. And therefore, only to Moshe Rabbeinu could he be a melech and the teacher of Torah. So you say, well, why couldn't David do it? David was also humble. Didn't David say, V'anoichi toilas v'loi ish, I'm a worm? The answer is, but Moshe Rabbeinu was even more humble. He said, V'anachnu ma, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. David was something. He was a worm. A worm is more than nothing. I have a friend in Tveria. He was a worm farmer. A high-end worm farmer. So, you know, you think a worm is lowly, but, you know, a worm is epic something. It's better than nothing. Okay. So, here we encounter this amazing idea that even though throughout the Tanakh, there was never an individual who encompassed both being a melech and a navi, but Moshe Rabbeinu in his great humility, normally these two jobs are polar opposites. The navi has to conduct himself with great humility, and the teacher and the melech has to carry himself with majesty. But Moshe Rabbeinu in his supreme humility was able to encompass both roles. Now, let's study this a little bit. Because it would come out then, according to this Chassam Sofer, that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I did not take one donkey from them, this I would say, in fact, is addressing the Taina of Korach head on. Korach's Taina was, you're the Navi, so you're humble, so how could you be the Melech? So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, no. Did I ever exert? Is my Malchus a contradiction to my Nevuah? Did I ever take anything from the people? Did I ever pull rank? Did I ever take advantage of my position to benefit from the people? As a Melech, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, like Shmuel, just like Shmuel, the Chassam Sofer said, I did not take a donkey from them. Moshe Rabbeinu's claim, his Taina of Loi Chamor Echomehem Nosasi, is a hitting Korach's accusation on the head. Korach said that these two roles are mutually exclusive, not in me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. But I want to share with you a very interesting question. I want to talk a little bit about Moshe's Malchus and perhaps explain a little bit more why his Malchus, in fact, was not a contradiction to his greatness in Nevuah. And I want to point out an interesting dimension of his Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I did not take a donkey from them. Why not? Isn't the most basic rule of being a melech that you could impose tax on the people as you please? If you want to breach the fence, you breach the fence. If you want to take a field, you take the field. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu? So you say, well, maybe he didn't do it because then it would have been a contradiction to his nevuah. This is the question of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's brought in the Sefer Oyo Moshe, this week's Pasha of Rav Moshe Scheinerman. Rav Moshe asks, why in fact did Moshe Rabbeinu not take a donkey? Also, we pointed out, you know, Moshe was a melech, and when in Bahaloscha, when it says, Asei lecha shtei chatzoyt reis kesef, make for yourself two trumpets of silver, miksha ta'asa oisa, make them out of bang them out. Rashi says trumpets of silver, sheyu toiken lefanecha k'melech, that they should blow the trumpets before you like a king, vayhi bishur melech. But the materials have to be asei lecha, it has to come mishalcha, from your own possessions. And Rav Moshe asks, on the pasuk Asei lecha shtei chatzoyt reis, that the Gemara says that Moshe had to make it from his own material. But if the whole purpose of the chatzoyt reis were for kavod malchus, what kind of kavod malchus is it if he has to make his own trumpets? If the whole purpose of the chatzoyt reis is to honor him, what kind of honor is it if he has to pay for it? You know, imagine you saw a king. You say, hey king, nice crown, where'd you get it? King said, where'd I get it? I got it online. I ordered it on Alibaba. I got it for 17 cents. It came all the way from China. Or I got it from India. I got it online. I got a good deal. I paid for... Where'd you get that? So if the whole Indian of the Chatzoitz Rice was to honor Moshe Rabbeinu, why would he have to pay for it? I have another question. Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be a melech? Really? Then anyone who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu should have the status of Moired B'Malchus. Do we find that those who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu were Moired B'Malchus? You know, when Yehoshua said, Eldad Umeidad Misnavim B'Machana Adoini Moshe Kiloim, destroy them. What did Moshe Rabbeinu respond? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban says, in number 20, Umoshe Ba'an V'Sanusai, Moshe in his humility, Heshev, he answered, Umitein Kol Am Hashem Navim. Okay, they're prophesying. If only every Jew was a Navi. Ki Yitein Hashem Esruchai Aleim. The Ramban says that Moshe was saying, it's okay that they're, so to speak, stepping on my toes. I'm a Rebbe. I'm the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Rav Shemachal Al Kevoidai, Kevoidai Machal. A Rebbe that forgoes his honor is forgone. So we see, yeah, but wait a second. I thought Moshe was a Melech. Didn't he make Chatzoitzos like a Melech? Wasn't he a king? Vayhi Vishur and Melech? So in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been able to forgo his honor. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva and Siman Reish Ches that those who rebelled against Moshe in the Midbar were not Chayiv Misa, even though he was a king. So we're learning something very interesting about Moshe's Malchus. It was not your typical Malchus. Number one, he had to pay for his own trumpets. Number two, he was able to be Moichel on his covet. Number three, those who rebelled against him were not considered Moired B'Malchus. And I'll show you a fourth interesting thing about Moshe's Malchus. You know, the Gemara in Zvachim asks, Moshe asked for Malchus and it was not given to him. That's why Hashem said, Al tikrav haloim, do not approach here. Ve'ein haloim ela Malchus. Shenemar mi anoichi Hashem aleikim, ki hevi sani ad haloim. So Gemara asks, Masav Rabbah, Rabbi Shalimer, Mala, he was a king. That Moshe was a king. Amar Rabbah lo yulazarei kamar. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking that he wants the Malchus to be transferred and to be passed down to his children. And that the Malchus was not passed down to his children. So there are some unusual elements of the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, it was not a contradiction to him being a Navi. Every other Melech was a contradiction to their being a Navi. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu, those who rebelled against him were not Chayiv Misa. Number three, he had to pay for his own Chatzoitz Reis. Number four, he was able to be Moichel on his Kavod. So these are a lot of interesting things about Moshe's Malchus. And number five, number one, it didn't go to his children. Number two, there was no Ma'ariv B'Malchus. He had to pay for his own Chatzoitz Reis. He was able to be Moichel on his Kavod. So, and number five, it was not a stira to him being a melech, for him to be a Navi. So at the Levaya of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, at the Hesped for Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said as follows. You know, when somebody is the Gadol Hadar, who appoints them the Gadol Hadar? Is there like a vote? You know, they have 100 candidates, and then they narrow down the Gadol Hadar award to top 10. Then they each give a prabha, and they narrow it down to the top 3, and then they have a debate, and then they have two standing, and then they debate each other, and then there's a committee, and after they have one man standing, and then the Queen of England puts her wand on this Gadol's head and says, "You art thou the Gadol Hadar." No, obviously not. So is there a process? Is there a vote? Is there a ceremony? There's a certain type of greatness that just speaks for itself. The G'dolei Hador are never appointed. It's their Torah knowledge, their scholarship speaks for itself. And the Rav Moshe applied this to Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky, who he said that his greatness in Torah was not dependent whether he was a Rav in Slutsk or in Samlovitz or whether he was in London or whether he was in Eretz Yisrael. It's his Torah knowledge speaks for itself. And in this sense, you know, there's other malachim in Klal Yisrael are appointed. Their malchus is an appointment. Not so the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, emanated memela. It spoke for itself. It came from his mastery and scholarship in Torah. You know, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph and Beis, that Rav Meir Omer, Kol Oisek B'Torah L'Shma, Zoichel L'Dvarim Harbe. Anyone who learns Torah for the sake of heaven, it merits many things. And one of those many things is V'noisenes Lei Malchus. It gives a certain royalty. It gives a certain majesty. This, in a way, we could say, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechus Hakadosh, said, this applied to the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not take a donkey from anybody, and this might be a little bit of another element here. In other words, the Chassam Sofer says that Moshe was able to encompass both roles, Malchus and Nevuah, because of his humility, so he was able to encompass both. Maybe we could say, with a slight nuance, that Moshe did not encompass two roles. Moshe was a Navi. He was the paragon of Malame Torah. But his Torah eminence was such that it instilled a certain malchus of Torah in him. Therefore, says Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, a little different than the Chassam Sofer. It's not that he didn't take a chamar because he had to show such humility so that his malchus could be compatible to his nevuah. It's Moshe's malchus emanated from his Torah, so he could not benefit from others because since it emanated from his Torah, he could not use the Torah as a shovel to take benefit from. You know, it's interesting, the Meshech Chachma, so in that sense, maybe a little different, the reason why it was not a contradiction, maybe Korach thought that Moshe Rabbeinu in fact assumed two roles. You see, according to Chassam Sofer, he assumed two roles, and his humility allowed him to encompass both roles. But maybe according to Rav Moshe, it's not that he assumed two roles. He had one role. His role was Navi, teacher of Torah. But the Torah that he had instilled Malchus in him. And because of that, it was not a contradiction for him to assume both roles. That's why he had to emphasize, I did not take a donkey. Because if I would have taken a donkey, I would have been Nene from the Torah. Meshech Chachma in Parshas Yisrael points out that, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu served Yisrael like a waiter. And the question is, how could he do that? The Gemara compares it to Rabbi Gamliel, Nasi Shemachal Kvaydei Kvaydei Machal. But the question is, Moshe was a Melech. Says the Meshech Chachma, when was he a Melech? Behis Asif Rosh Hayam. By Matan Torah he was a Melech. But Yisrael came before the Torah was given. So therefore he wasn't yet a Melech in that sense. And this could help us understand why when Moshe Rabbeinu asked for Malchus, the Gemara says he was given Malchus, but not to be passed down to his children. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus not passed down to his children? I would humbly suggest because Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus was different than regular Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus, as Rav Moshe says, emanated from his Torah. And through his Torah Lashma, it was Noisenes Lei Malchus. And in Perkei Avos, we read, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Beis, we read, Haskein Atzmecha Lomai Torah, you have to prepare yourself to learn Torah. She'ino Yerushalach. Torah is not an inheritance for you. You can't inherit Torah. If your father knows Torah, that's great. That has nothing to do with you. If your father has money, you'll yarshin it. If he has a house, you'll yarshin it. If he has Torah, the Torah doesn't get passed down as a Yerusha. And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus emanated from his Torah, Hashem said, I can't give you malchus that will be passed down to your children. You see, the malchus of David and Shlomo, that was an appointment. That was an independent institution. That institution, in fact, is contradictory to Nevuah. That's a malchus that gets passed down. But this is a malchus that emanates from Torah. So that's a malchus that every individual is on their own for. So this was the taina of Korach. Korach's taina was, never in history do we ever have somebody who's able to combine both roles. And today we're learning, we're studying, I think, two possible approaches how Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, was able to assume both roles. Either as Chassam Sofer says, because of his great humility, for him, it wasn't a contradiction to be a melech and a navi. But according to Rav Moshe, it could be it wasn't a contradiction because, in fact, it was not two independent roles. It was Moshe Rabbeinu was instilled with malchus through the Koyach HaTorah. Okay, Rav Yisai, I wish everybody a wonderful day, a beautiful day. If anybody wants to join us in helping translate upcoming Svarim into Spanish or French, now is your opportunity to join. That's available. I wish everybody a beautiful day. Bracha v'atzlacha v'chol tov. Baruch tia.
Can we make a comment?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.